quarter to six. It's a Monday morning, 1 degree above zero, and time for the best 5 minutes of the day. Good morning to Jason Kanz.
Good morning.
So the show choir volunteerism, how did that go on Saturday?
Well, I think it went well for me. I was there from 6:30 to 9:30 or 10 o'clock, something like that, on Saturday morning. And it, already at that time of day, it was just kind of a hive of activity. And I was doing volunteer check-in, and I think during my shift there, there were probably a couple of well over 100 people that had checked in. So that was really good. Heather was there from 6:30 Saturday morning until, I think she said she got home about 1:30 Sunday morning. So was there that entire time. And I'm grateful that I wasn't, but it kind of brought a level of exhaustion to our entire house. It was good. It was fun to see all the people stirring. I was there last year, and it was much busier than it was last year. So
I was not able. I know Michael and Eau Claire North performed at 4, and Peggy was able to be there and see him. But I had a basketball game going on WOGO in Menominee, so I wasn't able to be there. But it sounds like it was a great event. So.
It was, interestingly, you know, it was with all of the people that were there, I ended up bumping into Peggy.
And that's right.
So that was, so we talked for a few minutes. Uh-huh. I was actually on my way out, and so it was good.
Excellent.
It was good. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see. We left off in Colossians, right? Colossians chapter 1.
Yeah, Colossians 1. Yeah. Two verses left in the 28 and 29 are left. So.
All right. I'll read those and you share from Letters of the Beloved. Here
Perfect.
We go.
Sounds good.
So everywhere we go, we tell everyone about Christ. We warn them and teach them with all the wisdom God has given us, for we want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. Verse 29, I work very hard at this, says Paul, as I depend on Christ's mighty power that works within me.
Yeah. So what I wrote was, it is Christ alone that matters, not just for salvation, but for all of life. My son justified you through his atoning sacrifice. You've been made right with me. Your salvation will never be taken from you, but do not forget that Jesus is also your teacher. He showed people the best way to live with love and other-centeredness. As you grow in maturity, you will understand that to live a Trinitarian life means that not only are you in my son, which guarantees your salvation, but that he is in you, empowering you to live a godly life.
Hmm. Yeah, that's good stuff. I mean, a lot there. We talk about, I think we chose Colossians because people have encouraged, let me hear you guys talking about Jesus and so the supremacy of Christ. But it gets me thinking about books like Yancey's The Jesus I Never Knew. And I have to say, Sunday nights at MyCon in Chippewa, watching The Chosen on the big screen, again, episode 6 from season 1, impactful last night. It was the indescribable compassion. Mm. And having things like that helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I think just kind of continuing to look back to the life of Christ, the work of Christ, the hope of Christ, I think that's so beneficial for us. And again, even just reading both the Bible passage this morning and then what I wrote down about it, it's just Christ is all in all, right? And it's not just for salvation, but it's so much bigger than that. And that's one of the things I think The Chosen does, is shows the life of Christ so well and how he interacted with others who were nearby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, again, I'd caught bits and pieces before, but now to week in, week out, consecutively be seeing it on the big screen Sunday night at 6 for free at MyCon at Chippewa, the thing is that last night, I mean, it was just like the contrast of the religious people with who Jesus was and is, and his love and his kindness and his compassion. And it is so above and beyond,
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think even earlier in Colossians 1, that, that 15 to 20 passage really gets at that magnificence of Jesus. So, yeah, it's good to get through the first chapter of Colossians. I'm enjoying this.
All right. We'll be working our way starting chapter 2 in the near future. Talk to you tomorrow. Jason Kanz, jasoncanz.com, author of Letters to the Beloved. All right. Our buddy Drew Fralick on the line, counselor, comedian, interim pastor. Good morning.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
It's going all right. How are things in Detroit?
It's cold. I guess it's probably colder there, though.
Yeah. It's one below here. Yeah, we got one below. Yeah. So what do you got, roughly?
We're at like 10 degrees.
Yeah.
It's a heat wave for you guys. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. So anyhow, it's Make Us Laugh Monday. John has left us a joke on the listener line. So before we get to what you got going this week, give me your take on John's joke here.
A pirate came into the restaurant one day to have breakfast. And the waitress said to the pirate, "Why do you have a paper towel on your head?" The pirate answered and said, "Arr, I got a bounty on me head."
Bounty on my head. Yeah, the bounty paper toweling. So, good one, John. I'll leave it to you if you want to use that on stage, you know, at your next performance, which is going to be where, at a nursing home?
Yeah, so we've talked over the years. I've done a lot of weird gigs. On Friday, I'm doing a gig in the morning at a nursing home in Detroit.
Huh.
So trying to wrap my mind around that one, you know. I've done hospitals, I've done mental hospitals, I've done Buddhist temples, you know, like all kinds of weird places in Asia. But a nursing home is a new one for me. So I guess, you know, everybody needs to laugh. I'm going through my material trying to figure out what I'm going to talk about, but that'll be an interesting one, Mark. Any tips?
Well, it's funny you say that, because I dabbled in stand-up comedy back in college. I mean, a little bit. And you're right. You do think of different places. Like, one of my gigs was I had a Domino's pizza delivered to me on stage. Like, I hadn't seen that done before. So I tried it out, you know, back in the day. And so, but yeah, I do remember actually doing stand-up comedy in a nursing home. I'm trying to remember. My mom worked at a place called Luther Manor. It was at the place. It seems like my mom was there. It was many moons ago, so there's not a whole lot of advice I can give you, but, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess...
So what I'll do then, I hear what you're saying. So what I'll do then is I'm going to combine everything here. I'm going to open with getting a pizza delivered to me on stage.
Okay.
And then I'm going to close with John's joke about the pirate and just stretch the whole thing out.
Wow.
Over like 30 minutes.
Wow.
There's my whole thing.
Okay,
set.
I do remember one of my jokes from back in the day was I did have, you know, I'm like, what are, you know, and maybe, you know, you go here. I mean, in terms of, you know, laughing, people want to laugh at, I mean, aging. I got to tell you, even the late 50s, like, wow, this is... nobody plans for this. It's great to be alive, but aging. And so I think, you know, at one point I think I said, what is this? Depends. It looks like a parachute for a Barbie doll. So that was one of my jokes, if you want to pull that one out.
Okay.
So
you've basically written my whole set here
yeah,
this morning.
This
is great. This is like, instead of Make Us Laugh Mondays, it's just help Drew write his set for the nursing home Mondays. This is
yes.
great.
I know.
That's going to be perfect.
I'm going to just, you know, I haven't shared my comedy with you. I had another time where I was doing something for TV10 at the university. And so I'm doing my shtick, and I have a friend that just walks out, total deadpan, and he just says, "Dippity doo," and turns around and walks back. So those are just opportunities for you.
Mark, you were like the original Andy Kaufman, it sounds like.
Yeah, kind of just quirky.
Pizzas on stage.
Right.
Like, you were real avant-garde back in the day.
It obviously, I didn't make it as far as you and some of the others. So
we need to dive into that at some point.
We just did.
This is good. Yeah, well, there sounds like there's a whole lot more to mine there, Mark. We need to dig into that. That's good.
Thank you, Drew. Caleb, good morning. In that play-by-play call from the talented Dave Kane, I thought I heard a song request.
Portis tries to add to the tally. Yes, he can. From the right wing.
Yes, he wants the song from Kane, apparently.
Sounds like a plan, Dave.
Yes, he can on WWIB. Weekend recap on the WIB Wake Up Show. By the way, it's a Make Us Laugh Monday. If you've got jokes, we welcome them. 396-1670, WWIB. We played John Field's joke for stand-up comic Drew Fralick, who has a gig at a nursing home in Detroit, and he says he's going to use John's joke.
Well, there you go.
I know.
John, you are getting worldwide, my friend.
There we go. Actually, my highlight of the weekend was Elena wanted to do some weightlifting. So her and I went to the Y, did some exercise, hit the Nautilus, showed her the machines, and hit a number of them together. That was great.
Sure.
And then did some cardio. It's so much better to exercise when you've got somebody to exercise with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that was my highlight for sure. What was the Pro Bowl, though? I tuned in long enough to go, this is not football.
Yeah. Guys... But are the stars in the league, admittedly, but not...
Yes.
Nobody wants to get hurt. Everybody wants to have a good time. But can we just make it flag football?
I know. We might as well. Do that. That would be more interesting. I saw Matt LaFleur with the headset on the sideline, but otherwise, I didn't know what that was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really enjoyed calling the first half of the Chi-High Boys at Menominee game on Saturday. That was the most fun I had doing basketball this year. The second half, not as much. Hats off to Menominee.
Well, I also called a basketball game on Saturday, as you and I had a doubleheader split between two different teams. So enjoyed that, but also enjoyed some extra time with my family too, Saturday and Sunday. And I have to say, the highlight of my weekend, she doesn't even know this, but the highlight of my weekend was my oldest daughter, Lily. And you mentioned that Elena wanted to go weightlifting with you. Well, I was watching Olympics and figure, okay, I know they've been squashed together because of COVID, but normally these are 4 years between events. So, I mean, this to me is must-watch TV, even if I don't know a lot about any of the events. But normally, my children, and especially my eldest, not real interested when dad's watching sports.
Okay, yeah.
But we were watching figure skating, the team skate and figure skating, and it got time for bedtime, and it's being recorded, and Lily asked, could you not watch it without me? And I was like, oh, joy of joys. My daughter is interested in watching a sport, even if I have not a ton of interest in figure skating. My daughter is interested. So I said, you better believe it. I'll turn it to something else and we'll watch it again later.
Nice.
So anyway, I'm sorry. That sparked joy in me.
Yeah, that's great.
That she showed some interest
it.
In the sport.
Yeah, absolutely. So. There you go. I think they were saying two are better than one.
There you go.
All right, it's the WIB Wake Up Show, Make Us Laugh Monday. This is the time of the show where we deliver some jokes that we've gathered. I think of them as acorns. It's kind of like we're squirrels out gathering our acorns and we share.
But sometimes the first snow has fallen and the squirrels are still rapidly scattered about trying to find the acorns. And sometimes they're green and a little moldy and might not be the greatest acorns.
Having said that, this is one I got from a family member this morning.
Okay.
Yeah, it goes, honestly, officer, I wouldn't have pulled over if I knew you were going to criticize me. Not recommended, folks.
Oh, man. Okay, so I'm going to start off with, I don't know if this is my weakest one, but
okay.
Sure. Havel, what do you call a tall buffalo?
A tall bison. I don't know.
A buff-a-high.
Buff-a-high.
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, not buffalo, buff-a-high. Got it.
Okay, there we go.
Hey, anyone around here called Philip? I found your screwdriver.
It's a Phillips. Well, I broke my finger last week. On the other hand, I'm okay. I'm going to laugh if nobody else is.
This is one we may have had before, but hopefully it bears repeating. What do you call a cow with a twitch?
I'm not sure.
Beef jerky.
I genuinely like that one. Okay. My final one here on the WIB Wake Up Show, Make Us Laugh Monday. Please give us your best efforts at 715-396-1670. Why did Dracula not want to attend the company business meeting?
Why?
He was afraid of the stakeholders.
Yes.
Oh, man. Sometimes I really do.
Yeah.
As much as I'm ashamed of some of these jokes, sometimes I'm like, you know what? That made me laugh. And if it's nothing else, it makes your DJ a little brighter on a Monday.
Well, the big game is on Sunday. And if you've gone to a big sporting event or a concert or something, and you've tried, sometimes people will try to gouge you. You'll go, wow, that for park. I could say going to the Dells, one of the water parks. The tickets are low. And you go, you want what for parking?
Yeah. And this is the thing. Sometimes you feel like you get a good deal on tickets and then pay so much in parking. Was it really a good deal?
Right.
I love the hominess when I've gone to Packers games of parking in someone's yard.
Yeah.
They really pack you in there.
They do.
I mean, they really.
Sardines.
You
absolutely.
Have to be quite the backer to be able to fit in some of those spots. But then there've been other times too where, you know, going to an event in the cities and it's like, wow, I'm kind of a little hole in the wall parking garage and they want how much for it. That is nothing compared to what it's going to cost to park.
That's
if
right.
You happen to be at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, parking at the Midas Auto Repair Shop in Inglewood, California is typically free. On Super Bowl Sunday, it could cost as much as, brace yourself, $1,500.
How much do you really want to go to the game?
Wow. Attendance is going to be at an all-time high when the Rams and Bengals clash at SoFi Stadium, which typically seats around 70,000 but can expand to as many as 100,000 for big events. And thanks to stages and event spaces occupying some of the lots surrounding the stadium, parking there is going to be extremely scarce, forcing fans to find alternative places to park. And for a few hours Sunday, Inglewood businesses and residents with driveways and garages will become like Green Bay, finding themselves with some of the most valuable real estate in the city, and they're looking to cash in.
I mean, I know California real estate is crazy expensive, so apparently California parking spaces as well. I mean, and again, I'm thinking as we're talking about this of that Progressive commercial about turning into your parents and all the people walking to the stadium talking about all the parking spaces. And that's what I feel. But this is interesting to me.
Yeah.
More than 100 spots are up for grabs on the ticket exchange site StubHub. 100 spots is not that much out of a stadium that can hold 100,000. A spot in the Civic Center parking garage costs $135, while the asking price for a spot in a small parking lot about a mile from the stadium is $4,850.
Shouldn't you just take public transportation to the game? I mean, isn't that the way to go?
Well, this is the thing. Do I park out of state?
Yeah.
Or just find someplace else?
Wow. Most parking passes listed for $300 to $400, including spots in the lots of businesses such as the Hollywood Park Casino and Midas.
Wow. Let's not even talk about what actual ticket prices are.
Exactly. Parking that's just much. Parking.
Hey, a couple tunes take us up to the Wib Wake Up Show weather update. This is Matt Carney echoing what we're saying about those rapidly rising parking prices. Save me. Well, we always encourage participation on Make Us Laugh Mondays because that makes our jokes not stick out quite as much. So our buddy Aaron left us a joke here on the Wib listener line at 715-396-1670.
So for Joke Monday, I was planning on opening up a French-themed restaurant, but then I found out there was a pretty heavy franchise fee for that.
Oh, man. Franchise fee, right. French fries.
There you go.
Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate it. 715-396-1670 if you have a joke you'd like to share before the end of the show. A
couple of interesting stories to pass along this morning. Let's start off with this one. Legoland of California is aiming to break a Guinness World Record with a SoFi Stadium replica. That's where the Super Bowl will be Sunday, home of the Rams and Chargers, I guess. But the project is going to feature, get this now, over 500,000 bricks and take more than 25 master model builders to pull off. I mean, these are like the experts, the gurus in Lego building.
And this is the thing. Those are all those people whose parents stepped on Lego so many times as a kid. It's like, why do you always leave these out? No, they were becoming a master builder, Mom and Dad.
I know it. Oh, yeah. I remember visiting the Legoland in Florida and meeting some of them. The model is going to become the largest Lego brick sculpture of a stadium with dimensions of roughly 30 feet long, 15 feet wide, and 4 feet high. Wow.
Goodness gracious.
You're thinking about some of the projects your kids have built at home. The completed model is going to be featured at the park's Miniland USA attraction. The attempt comes as the Super Bowl heads to the stadium, game set for Sunday.
Will they be able to finish in time?
I know it.
Wow.
Another one out of London, a yard sale may be the last place you'd... It would be the last place you'd expect to find anything worth $10 million. However, a drawing that, get this, Caleb, was sold for $30 has been identified as an extremely rare 16th century drawing by Albrecht Dürer, D-U-R-E-R, is regarded as one of the greatest artists of the German Renaissance.
Wow. And yet somehow his drawing just sort of trickled down
as a
family heirloom that no one wanted at some point because they were selling it at a garage sale.
Now, you're going to talk about the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Yeah, you're the person who bought this. I bought this for $30. It's worth $10 million. The London auction house now in possession of it. But what if you're the guy who sold it?
Oh, goodness. I feel like I may have done that with some baseball cards when I was young at garage sale. Because I just remember one time we were selling them. We had a whole box of baseball cards that someone had given us. And so we were, so they were free to us. But we were selling them for a nickel. And I just remember at one point, there was a guy who was like, I'd better give you a dollar for that. I'm just, what was it?
Uh-oh.
But at the time, the nickel was pretty cool, and then the dollar was even better.
The Kirby Puckett rookie card.